the newly crowned all-time leading trainer, Dale Romans.
Well, Chef Edward Lee,
I'm honored to be with Dan Issel.
I'm at the offices of Louisville Public Media.
Stephen George,
budding country music star,
J.D. Shelburne.
Rocky Adkins is with us.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, Louisville's longest-running and most interesting podcast. Join Rick Redding, your host, as he talks with some of the city's most interesting individuals. The city's leaders in politics, business, sports, and the arts join Rick in lively one-on-one interviews, taking on the topics that are making news in the Ville. Right now, Rick's ready to get the show rolling in the Louisville.am studio. Here's Rick.
And thank you for joining me here at the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding, your host. And I have an odd situation here. The situation may be best summed up by the phrase, the show must go on. And it will. We had, for the first time ever on the show, you know, I go out, not familiar with the Rusty Satellite Show. I interview who I think are the most interesting people in the Ville. And this week I had an interview with this very interesting pair of young ladies called Girlwood. They're a musical act, and they are very popular in certain circles. And so I went down to, they wanted to meet at Honey Brothers on Frankfort Avenue, and we did that. We recorded the interview, but apparently I didn't realize the wind blowing, and there were a lot of distractions there. And folks, I am sorry to say the recording is unusable. So, what are we going to do? Well, I'm going to talk about Girlwood a little bit later in the show and what happened there. I have a great picture of them on that I'll publish with the show, but I think we're only going to have one interviewee guest this week, and that is one Mr. Stanley Chase. Stanley Chase is a entrepreneur. He's a vegan, and he is the founder of Louisville Vegan Jerky, a great product that is on store shelves all over the world, believe it or not. And he is talking to me a little bit about this this fake meat movement in the country, and I just found it really interesting. Now you're seeing it places like Qdoba and White Castle. They're advertising this impossible burger or impossible meat, or you can buy this Beyond Meat in the grocery stores. And there's quite a bit of debate out there as to whether A, is it healthy for you, or B, is it any good? I can't say that I've tried it yet. I've been tempted at Qdoba. It's a plant-based material, and Stanley will tell you that one of the companies he invested in went public. He invested in, and he's done quite well so far. So we're going to have that up here in just a second. First, I'm going to mention that this show, for the 315th episode, is has some great sponsors. Passport Health Plan has been with me from almost the beginning, about a year ago as well. I had LASIK surgery at the Eye Care Institute down in Butchertown, and it is it was really a great thing. And and Heiser Health is also involved in my personal health, and is a sponsor of the show. We're coming to you from the Remax Properties East Studios. We got the studio set up about a month and a half ago, and it's been great. The people here at Remax Properties East have been great hosts, and I've become a realtor with the Secolor Medley team out here at Remax Properties East. Big news. I had a sale this week, I'm learning a lot about real estate. I'm showing a lot of houses, and I really enjoyed it. If you're interested in working with me on finding your own home, call me at 502-439-6391. I'll be glad to set something up with you, tell you what's going on in the market, which is right now in the real estate market is amazing. There is a sort of a shortage of inventory. I had I was involved in a odd bidding war, basically on a listing that was for $130,000 over in J-Town, and we were one of 20. My buyers were one of 20 bidders on this house, if you can believe it. That's how competitive, especially in that price range, things are right now. So anyway, I can we didn't get that one, but I got those buyers another property, and they're very happy. So that's the way it works. Sometimes it's very competitive in the real estate industry. So if you're buying or selling, give me a call. I'd love to talk to you. All right, let's get to Stanley Chase in this unusual Rusty Satellite Show. As I said, sorry to the girls of Girlwood. I'm not going to have that recording for you, but we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show after the Stanley Chase interview. Stanley came in here yesterday, and we talked about all things vegan, and he's a very interesting, unusual guy. And I think you'll like him. So here's the interview.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up. Until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at PassportHealthPlan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
All right, we're back here in the RE/MAX Property Z Studios. I'm with Stanley Chase, who I haven't seen for a few years. Welcome
hey.
In.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. You are the king of vegan food. We were just joking. I said you were vegan before vegan was cool.
Yeah. Well, I've been at this since I started my food truck in 2010. So wow. It's been almost 10 years.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And you brought some new products in. We got a lot to talk about, but you've created some vegan toppings, I guess. I see bacon bits and pepperoni bits, and this is stuff you just put on top of other foods, right?
Yeah, and we have a group of products that we're starting to launch under the Louisville Vegan Foods umbrella. We also have a chocolate that we're producing. Just trying to, right now, if you go on the grocery shelves, there's a lot of stuff that's missing. There are the crunchy bacon bits we all grew up with putting on baked potatoes that are actually vegan. People don't know that, but they're made out of soy. But they're just kind of antiquated, a little bit old and stale.
Now, wait a minute. You're telling me bacon bits aren't made of bacon?
Right. Yeah. I mean, especially the stuff that comes in the little shaker that we're all familiar with, we grew up with. Those are usually made out of soy. But yeah, ours are trying to replicate the real bacon bit. So it's a little more chewy, a little bit more smoky, a little bit more bacony. But yeah, that's something we just started doing recently.
All right. Well, that's very cool. And pepperoni, you got the Louisville Vegan Jerky, the original, and you're, you know, I don't know what, when we talked about 3 years ago, probably on Eat Drink Talk, but this product is increased in volume.
Yeah, we are for sale all the way across the country. We went Whole Foods National last July.
Wow.
And then we're in every state now, working on getting into Target, and then we just got into Hong Kong last week.
Wow.
So yeah, we're just kind of, this stuff is starting to move all over the world.
And you're on the verge of some other big contracts.
Yeah. Maybe. We're working on a lot of stuff right now.
Okay, and for Louisvillians, you can always go down to Morell's. Your restaurant is 3 years old.
It'll be 3 in February.
Wow! So yeah. We talked before it opened. So that's how long it's been since you were on the show.
Yeah, definitely.
How's that going?
It's good. I mean, you know, it's like any other restaurant. It goes through its ups and downs and seasons and all that. But I mean, you know, I enjoy having it for selfish reasons. I've always wanted a vegan restaurant in Louisville. So, but yeah, no, I mean, it's good.
Yeah. And, you know, and for people that don't know, it's right down there on Baxter, lower part of Baxter.
Yeah. Right across the street from Spinelli's, in where Phoenix Hill Tavern used to be.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, for vegan food, you know, a vegan restaurant, but you were telling me that when you started all this stuff, you were sort of a lone wolf, but now it's like every restaurant has a vegan option.
Right.
And what I really wanted to talk to you about was this whole fake meat phenomenon.
Right.
All right. So you're on the cutting edge of that whole phenomenon. There was a big article in the Courier Journal this morning about it, and you know, certainly it helps your jerky business.
Yeah. I mean, we're, like I was saying earlier to you before we jumped on here, like there is a wave of of interest, and I mean everybody from the New York Times to Washington Post to I don't know, pretty much everywhere I look is covering this Beyond Meat thing that happened, which right. interesting. I read that they were going public, and you know, I told my brother, I said, hey, we should go in together on this and invest some money in Beyond Meat when they go public. Well, they were supposed to start out at like $20 a share, and then it got bumped up to like 24 and then to like 35. By the time we got in, it was up to like 60 something dollars
because
it went really quick up. And then, you know, right now it's sitting at 172.
Man,
last I looked. And so it's make, I mean, it got a lot of people's attention.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the people that this wasn't even on their radar at all. They didn't even know what the company was.
This is a company, Beyond Meat, right?
This is Beyond Meat, you're right.
Okay, and there's a competitor company that's got even more publicity, I guess.
Well, they're kind of doing the Pepsi and Coke thing right now.
Right.
I mean, Impossible is they're two very different products.
Okay.
And they have very different approaches. Beyond was going after retail. Impossible was trying to get into restaurants.
Okay.
Now they've both – Impossible is supposed to start coming out in retail soon, and Beyond is – in a lot of like they're in Del Taco or whatever that
yeah I'm seeing advertisements from restaurants from
White
mainstream
Castle,
restaurants
White Castle,
like
has,
White
Impossible.
Castle has Impossible Burger. I know it's at Qdoba.
Yep.
It's a big deal.
They have Impossible, and then Burger King's about to put it nationwide as well.
So what's the thing about it? Is it healthier? What's it made of? And you know, is it a health thing why it's so popular, or
you know,
what do you think it is?
This is up for debate. I mean, there's so many different angles, and there's so many different takes on it online, depending on where you're reading, and obviously what their interest is. I mean, I was just reading an article yesterday by a – it just kind of popped in my Google News feed, but it was a woman who runs a farm, and her whole headline was Impossible Meat – is trying to shut down local farms, you know.
Okay.
And listening to her, the whole position is like, okay, I could see where she would feel this way. You know, and then there are people that I mean, the environmental impact is undeniable at this point. And you know, I think a lot of people are trying to find ways to be what they can do to help offset climate change.
It's that whole thing, like we're just one person, but like why do we recycle? Because we think we're one person, we're going to help the world by
putting
our milk carton in the recycle bin. And if I'm just one person and I don't eat meat and I eat Impossible Meat instead, maybe that'll help the environment.
Well, a big customer right now, I was just in Oregon visiting the company Tofurky. They've been around since the 70s. They're kind of the leaders, in my opinion, in the fake meat world. And we were talking with them too. The biggest customer right now that came to all of our surprise is not the vegan, not the vegetarian, but the flexitarian. So the flexitarian falls into a category that's the people that are trying to eat less meat. They have not committed to a lifestyle change, but they are aware of the impact, and they're not eating meat for three meals a day anymore. Maybe they're savvy enough to eat a Beyond Burger, or they're, you know, and I most people I know personally, my family and a lot of my friends fall into that category.
Yeah, thank you, Stanley, for identifying it for me. I am definitely a flexitarian.
Right.
I'm going to put that on my business card.
Well, and they say that vegans are around 3-4%. Vegetarians are around the same, maybe a little bit more. And flexitarians fall into like a 60% category. So,
wow. So everybody's trying to eat less meat.
That's who all the companies are trying to go for right now, as far as, you know, numbers go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do? You eat meat?
No, I'm vegan.
Okay.
But I mean, I quit eating meat 15 years ago. So I love this fake stuff though. But I know a lot of people. I know so many vegetarians and vegans that hate this stuff. They, you know, not on an emotional level, but they're just like, I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't need something that looks like this, whatever. And then I know a whole other group of people that are like, I miss meat. But I disagree with it on a personal level.
So this will be a substitute for them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So there. Let's talk about around Louisville. Of course, a bunch of vegan-themed outlets have opened up. I know, what's the place in the old Monkey Wrench? That's
V-Grits.
Yep. V-Grits is, mm-hmm. is I had a meal there once and all that. So it is, to me, it's more than a trend. I mean, it's a lot of the population is going toward this, and they're buying a lot of jerky too, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, our production goes up every month. I mean, wow. Every month we
and I think we were saying that 4 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
Has it ever leveled
never.
Off?
No. We've pretty much doubled our business every year for the last 6 years. I mean, some years have been in the early stages. We were going from making 1,000 bags a month to like 100,000, you know, a month. You know, so
now how many are you making?
Well, I mean, last year we did almost 1 million bags. I mean, this is hand bagged. We don't have robots. We
a
don't
million
have
per year total.
Total yeah. for the year. But I mean, you know, this is again, we're still an independent company. I mean, we just got into Whole Foods 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Or sorry, last July. So
well, that kind of
a year ago.
That kind of growth is bound to attract interest from investors and others. What are you getting there?
Yeah, I mean, we get a lot of I don't know, you know, emails, invites, people mm-hmm. wanted to just kind of chat and see where we're at. And you know, I don't know. We're still kind of on the fence about all that because, you know, there's a company like Tofurky, they have remained in complete control of their company. They have never taken on an investor that's been an equity share.
Right.
And I've had a lot of philosophical questions with their CEO, and I understand why they've gone that route. And, you know, they're in it for the animals, and they're in it for their brand and their family. And it's not just like a BS thing. They've been at this since the 70s.
Right.
So I really respect.
But on the other hand, as a business, if you want to grow faster, you need an infusion of capital.
You need something. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so, and we're exploring. I mean, there's all kinds of options. I mean,
right.
You know, whether or not you end up giving up equity, I don't know.
I don't know either. So. Well, it's got to be very, very exciting to be on the, you know, you're on the front edge of the, you know, you were here almost at the beginning of, I guess the general public's knowledge of.
Yeah, it's crazy to even think about that because Whole Foods, when we met with them in December, we went to their headquarters in Austin, Texas, and the guy said to me, he's the biggest, you know, the buyer in the country, and he said, you know, you're not going to like this, but in our eyes and the rest of the country's eyes, even though you've been at this for 7 years, you know, you're only 6 months old to us. And, you know, I'm like, oh, he's right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I feel like in my head that I've been, you know, at this for a long time, but yeah
it seems like it. And very interesting, you told me about the number of employees. You know, when we talked 4 years ago, it was like less than 10, and now it's over 40.
Yeah, over
and,
40. Yeah.
And operating a restaurant and all this great product, and it must be something to see it in all these, like, even overseas markets.
Yeah, well, it was really cool. I lived in Philly right before I started this company. I lived there for a year, and I used to go to Whole Foods all the time. It was right across the street from my house in Center City, and I was just up there this past weekend and went in, and, you know, it was just really surreal because I didn't even know what I was doing with my life when I lived there.
Yeah,
you know, I was just like running a blog and working online, like, you know, as a cook, and I just didn't know what I wanted to do, and it was just interesting being back in that environment and remember thinking back 10 years ago, you know. But yeah, I see it all over the place.
And there's your product on the shelf.
Yeah, people send me pictures in their hometown, like, hey, your jerky's here in, you know, Phoenix. And I'm like, oh, cool.
which is cool, especially with your packaging, is a tribute to a lot more tribute to famous Louisvillians still.
And yeah, and you know up. What? As I know, I'm definitely not thinking at all like you know, bigger in my head than it actually is, but Louisville, we get so many people that say that, like, when they come through Louisville, all they know about Louisville is the jerky.
Yeah,
you know, so like the band Arcade Fire years ago came to Louisville, and they reached the manager reached out to us and said, hey, you know, they're from Canada, all these guys know about Louisville is the Louisville vegan jerky, you know. So they gave us a bunch of tickets and we gave them a bunch of jerky, and it was like, I hope that more of that stuff,
Yeah, I guess. Happens. So we can say we can say Kentucky Fried Chicken, Louisville Slugger, Louisville Vegan Jerky. There you
go. Hoping to get in that. Yeah.
That's the big stuff. Well, Stanley, I appreciate you coming by the studio and
filling
me in on all this and dropping off a little bit of a new product. So
for sure.
Best of luck to you. Keep us informed about how it goes.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And we are back at the Rusty Satellite Show in the RE/MAX Properties East Studios in East Louisville. Glad to be with you as we soldier on. The show must go on, as they say. And sorry to tell you that the interview I had with Girlwood, the musical duo, is really just not usable. It was very interesting, and I'll tell you about it in just a few minutes. But this part of the show, I talk a lot about things that are going on in the news that interest me. And one of the things, especially when it relates to media, because at one time I was a media critic, and I'm interested in this kind of stuff. This week in Lexington, there's a popular television show called Hey Kentucky. It stars Matt Jones, who was on this show a long time ago as a guest. And Matt is considering a run for Senate. He wants to take on Mitch McConnell, and somebody needs to. That race is actually getting crowded. Amy McGrath, who lost a run for the for Congress recently against Andy Barr over in Lexington, announced she's going to enter the Democratic primary to take on McConnell. Another guy, this farmer I just read in the Courier-Journal, has entered the race. And now Matt Jones is still undecided about it, but since he's been talking about it, I guess, the television station in Lexington, Channel 18, decided to pull him, put him on a leave of absence. Matt was publicly said he disagreed with the decision. But there's a thing in TV, you know, that... it's actually from this story. The Communications Act in 1934 says television, radio, broadcast stations must give equal opportunities for candidates on newscasts, news interviews, news documentaries, and spot news coverage. But the act only applies if someone is a legally qualified candidate. All right, so the television station, I guess, is protecting itself. I say they're being a bunch of cowards. In pulling Jones before he even announces whether or not he's running. Now Matt still has a radio show that a lot of people listen to. If you don't know who Matt Jones is, he is all University of Kentucky. He's built a platform and become one of the most known and most popular personalities in the state because of his ardent support of the University of Kentucky athletic program. So his television and radio shows have sort of veered off, as they do in the summer when nothing's going on, into political commentary. Matt's a lawyer, and he's an entertainer. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if he announces that he's not running. I'm sure he'll go right back to the TV show. But if he is, then it creates an interesting situation with his radio programming. The interesting thing about Jones is that he owns the broadcast entities. You know, he owns his radio show and his platform, and he's got a blog that's one of the most read in the state. So I think I personally hope he runs. I was talking to my son Josh about this last night, and you know, he thinks that Jones's personality will alienate. Jones would run as a Democrat. He's out there in opposition to most positions that Mitch McConnell takes. It will create an interesting dilemma. A lot of you know, UK fans are crazy about anything UK. So Jones would just get a lot of support naturally from UK fans. On the other hand, a lot of people in Louisville hate him. University of Louisville fans. sports fans sort of hate Jones because he gives Louisville a lot of grief and a lot of criticism. But the other dilemma is that Kentucky as a state, especially outside of Louisville and Lexington, is really Republican. It's embarrassing how much Kentucky loves Trump. And Kentucky loves, and Mitch McConnell has taken on a lot of challengers over his time in Congress. I think he's been there since 1984. I was involved. I think almost the closest to unseat him has been Bruce Lunsford. I worked with Bruce Lunsford on in 2007 on his campaign for governor. Later, he ran against McConnell for Senate and almost won. Of course, he could finance his campaign. He had a lot of advantages. I think Jones would have a lot of advantages, and I believe he could win the Democratic primary over Amy McGrath. And so we're going to have to see what happens with Matt Jones. Now, on another topic in politics, I just want to say that I'm disgusted by Americans sometimes. And this president, President Trump, brings out the worst characteristics in many of our citizens. As you know, this week he told four American congresswomen to go back to where they came from, even though they were American citizens. This shows Trump is, number one, he's usually factually wrong in thinking that these four women were from other countries that they should go back to. But, the problem is Trump, and the problem is the people that support Trump. I was listening to WHS radio this week, and there were callers who were just openly mocking these elected congresswomen and suggesting, again, repeating Trump's incorrect statements that they're not from here and they should go back to their own countries. And then Trump held a rally in which the chance of send her back reverberated through the crowd. And this is just flat out racism in our country. And it's ugly. It's very ugly. And I don't like it. But, that's what we're faced with. They've asked, the media has gone to almost every politician, asked what they thought of it. Governor Bevin, who's on the Trump team, said, oh, no, president's not racist. But are you racist if you make racist comments? I mean, nobody's disputing that what he said was racist. The dispute is whether even though he said something racist, does that make him a racist? I don't know, but I sure don't like Joe Girth's column in the Courier Journal this week. Questions whether McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, who's from China, should go back to China. There's all this ugly talk in politics now, and we'd be good to bring some civility back. But anyway, that's one story that's in the news. So here's a happier story I'm happy to share with you. Last night, there's this young woman, my girlfriend Paula, is friends with a group of her daughters are friends with a group of girls that includes this woman, this young woman named Lexi Browning, and she's a very wonderful, nice young lady, and she is also a big Taylor Swift fan. And sadly, she is battling cancer. So two stories, really. Lexi, as a Taylor Swift fan, decided she wanted to win this contest, for which the prize was a trip to New York for a exclusive concert that Taylor Swift put on. Lexi, what you had to do was send in a picture. It was a social media thing. You had to get votes. Lexi's got a lot of support because she had some 32,000 votes, overwhelmed the competition, I guess, and won the contest. And last week got to go to New York and see this private Taylor Swift show, which is a great little story. But she also has a lot of support in her cancer battle here. And last night, or Tuesday night, I went to O'Shea's. Tommy O'Shea, was on this show once upon a time, and he is all about helping good causes and charities, and they needed to raise some money for Lexi's cancer treatment. And so O'Shea's hosted this thing, and it was an overwhelming success. They made some $5,000. The restaurant was not prepared for the crowd. Apparently, the popularity of Lexi and this group was overwhelming. They ran out of food. I ended up going next door to Taco Luchador to eat. We had a couple beers there and all that. But they raised a bunch of money, and it's a really good cause and good for Lexi as she continues her cancer treatment. Hope that everything goes well there. Hey, there's another thing I did last week. You know, we had Dan Kazemi on the show. He is the artistic director of Ring of Fire, which is showing at Actors Theater. It's a really cool musical and a nice, the Victor Jory Theater. It's very small, intimate, and five very talented performers go through a series of Johnny Cash songs. And so I went to that Friday night. We decided to eat afterwards at Merle's, right next door on Main Street. And I can't tell you anything good about Merle's. They were having problems in the kitchen. We had to wait a long time. Then we got a little argument with the manager, and you know, that wasn't cool. But did you know that that's related to this series? You know, they're promoting this week National Dog Week, in which you are encouraged to bring your dog to a restaurant that has a patio, and you can be outside and hang out with your dog and eat. I had a discussion with Paula about this, because at Merle's, we were eating out, we were outside on the patio, and there was a group of girls, and they had a dog with them, and I contrary to popular belief in some circles, I am not a dog hater. I like dogs just fine. But I don't know why you would bring your dog to a patio to eat. But anyway, that was going on. We had a big discussion about it. But what about that? National Dog Week, encouraging you to bring your dog to a patio. I guess it's just a thing now. I think it seems like a lot more people have dogs these days. They're very popular, and it's very unpopular to say anything negative about dogs. I know that. I've learned. So I'm keeping my comments. Paula has two little dachshunds, and they're very nice, and I don't hate them. And I want to make that clear. But which brings up news in my life. I wanted to tell you that my condo on Brownsboro Road, I have up for rent, because I'm moving in with Paula after 6 years of being in a relationship. We don't plan to get married, but I'm very happy to be moving back out to J-Town, moving in with Paula, and putting my condo. It's a great, great condo. I'm going to put the sales pitch on you right now. It's so perfectly located. I've loved living there. It's a perfect, like, bachelor pad, single professional place. It's about 700 square feet. It is right on Brownsboro Road by Pat's Steakhouse. Very modern, a very contemporary building. It's that one with the red and the orange. If you're interested, please give me a call. I'm hoping to get some ads out on it and rent it within the next couple of weeks. I'm slowly and gradually clearing my stuff out and bringing it out back out to J-Town. I know all the people in J-Town be glad that I'm coming back, right? Okay. All right, and before we get into the discussing Girlwood and hearing a little of their music, there's been some significant changes in the restaurant industry. I just got a press release yesterday. Down on Main Street, down there by the Barry Woolley Design Shop on Main Street, there's a building. It used to house the Voice Tribune offices, actually. And if you've passed by in the last 3 or 4 months, you've seen it's papered with the words "Hey Sugar" on it. Well, it turns out that's going to be the site for the Butchertown Grocery Bakery, the long-awaited. You know, Chef Bobby Benjamin has been on this show. He is a great entrepreneur, and you know, when people ask me what's your favorite restaurant in the city, I say Butchertown Grocery. In the Butchertown Grocery, now Bobby is opening a bakery. Right there on Main Street. It's right down the street from, the biscuit place, you know, Biscuit Belly, I had Chad Coulter on the show a few weeks ago on that. So that's going to be a big addition. I think it's opening very soon, and be a nice bakery right there in Nulu, right down the street from that condo that I told you about. So that's a big move. The other big thing we heard this week was that it didn't take long. Wayland's in St. Matthews closed suddenly a couple weeks ago, and now they've announced that the people that run Havana Rumba are going to open a new fusion restaurant there in St. Matthews. That's right there where Drake's is, and the other new restaurant we talked about, the Diamond Street Grub and Hops, is right across the street. So what a that's a nice addition. I think I had lunch at Wayland's once, but I was never that impressed with it. But the Havana Rumbo stuff is outstanding. Outstanding. That ownership group also has Mojito Tapas out on Brownsboro Road. So the new place is going to be a combination of two. I think it's going to be called Mojito on Havana, something like that. But anyway, new restaurant coming to St. Matthews. All right, so sadly, I had this interview with Girlwood. And Girlwood is a group. They're on Sonoblast Records. That's Gil Holland's record company. A new record is coming out on August 2nd, and the girls are very excited about that. They played Forecastle over the weekend and really enjoyed that. I'm going to post a video from them, and you'll see that they're quite a unique act. They call themselves Kentucky Queerdos. And they have an appeal. They have a large fan following. Ray was telling me that she spends most every day working on social media for the band. That's there's enough of that stuff to do to keep her busy. Of course, they told me they're night owls. We met at like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They'd just gotten up. But it was very interesting. Meeting. I'm so sorry that I don't have the tape of the interview. That we did, because they were a very entertaining couple, as you'll see from the picture I took of them. And it's just, sadly, the tape was just not usable. There was a lot of wind going on, a lot of noise there. And so, anyway, you'll just have to, we'll just have to pass on hearing from them. But I am going to play for you a brief clip of their music. And then I'll be back to wrap the show up right after that. All right, so now you got a taste of what Girlwood is all about. If you want to go see them, actually, I don't imagine my audience has a lot of people that would go to the Louisville Is Dead Festival that's happened at the Mag Bar this weekend. They've got 25 bands, and it's a big deal. And Girlwood is one of the acts playing at the Mag Bar at the Louisville Is Dead Festival. Yeah, I didn't know about it either until I talked to Ray and Karen. So that's a big thing. Gonzo Fest is this weekend as well. A lot of celebration of Hunter S. Thompson. It's going on at the events are being held at the public library, and there's a bunch of things going on at the Fraser Museum as well. So if you're into Gonzo Fest and a fan of the work of Hunter S. Thompson, one of the great writers and perhaps the best writer ever to come from Louisville. You should check out online the Gonzo Fest information. It's going to be really hot this weekend, though, so it's a good. Might be staying in the air conditioning a little bit, or maybe it's time to go out and look at some houses if you'd like to do so. If you're in the market for a new home, I'm a realtor. My name is Rick Redding, and it is 502-439-6391. You can give me a call. The show is also sponsored by Passport Health Plan, the good friends of mine at Heiser Health, and the Eye Care Institute. Always glad to be doing this show. 315 consecutive weeks we've had a Rusty Satellite Show. This is the first one in which we had an interview that we conducted and it was not usable. So my apologies to the girls of Girlwood and to all of you in my audience. I'll do better. I'll make sure the recording equipment is working properly in the future. We'll see how that happens. But thank you for joining me. Tell your friends about the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville, the longest running and most interesting podcast in the city. We started way back in 2013. I'm glad to be with you. Any feedback, you can get a hold of me on Facebook under Rick Redding. And also check out LouisvilleKY.com, the Pulse of the City. That's another project that that I oversee a little bit. So, anyway, thanks again, and I'll be back next week on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. Rick will be back in the Louisville.am studio with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. To suggest a future guest or inquire about doing your own podcast, get in touch with Rick through Facebook or Twitter, or send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. To see the full list of guests who have appeared on the show since 2013, go to rustysatelliteshow.com.